Blog Talk Radio.
Cue to listen. Oh yeah. Oh, it's Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome. We got another show. Oh, it's a hot topic today. We're going to talk about homecoming. Coming home, returning to what God has owed. Oh, yeah. Let's get started. Hey, 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 there is no better love than for self and kind. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you, the African-American community. It's a conversation and a dialogue by us, for us, and with us. It is the only way that we can continue to grow and develop and prosper. But we must understand the pillars of empowerment, and they are politics, economics, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. Those components will get us to the goal line. It is up to us to continue to do what it is that we must do to inspire and empower ourselves to do the best that we can be. It is all about the mission, and that is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met. That's our job. And so with these shows, we're going to talk about what we need to do, and then you can go home and do your homework. You can go home and do your research, but you can go home and do practical application of applying these strategies and techniques, whether it's having a political agenda, whether it's having an economic plan that works for your family, yourself, and your community. Athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. That's taking care of your body and your mind. If you're not taking care of your body and your mind, what good are you to our community? You got to do the work of working on yourself. And it all starts with being able to look at yourself, do a thorough evaluation of what you need to do, and then get started on doing the work of working on yourself. Developing cultural programs, a cultural education that gets us back to loving ourselves and the great people that we are. And you have to know who you are and what you're all about. And lastly, it's education, people. We have to have a comprehensive education, a comprehensive educational model that speaks to our needs, our community needs, right? Developing our children, training them and developing them that they will be able to conduct themselves in a way that will make all of our ancestors proud, those who fought, bled, and died. You know the story. And if you don't, go back and do your homework on African-American history and start at about 1619 and work your way up. And by the way, we have a series on what slavery did to us. Go back in the archives and look and listen and find out what it is that slavery's done to us. Brother George has done a great job of doing that. Also, I need to make an announcement about our new news magazine. That's right. It's a news magazine called Wisdom. Wisdom, that's right. And that's what we need. And so if you need a copy, join me at theempowerment@gmail.com. That's theempowerment@gmail.com. theempowerment@gmail.com, and I can get that out to you. I'd like to thank Brother Booker for putting together a wonderful news magazine and all of those people on the staff that joined us and our advertisers as well. We're off and running. It's Wisdom, and guess what? It's by you, for you, and with you. We're all about the people. Hey, guess what the topic is today? Right? My co-host Stan should be joining me shortly, but in the meantime, we're going to talk about home training. I'm calling this a real homecoming, right? You know how to have homecomings for colleges, homecomings for churches. Well, we're going to have a real homecoming today. And we're going to talk about returning to what got us over. And that's speaking to home training. And last week we talked about something happened, and that something happened again. What happened to home training? What happened? What is home training? or as some of us say, home education. And where has it gone? Where are the morals, the discipline, the respect, the rules, and the expectations? Where has it gone? And so I'm going to play a clip here and then let you get right in. We're going to go to the lines.
I'm going to title this video Home
Excuse
Training.
The language, because it's going to be real.
Training. There is a very obvious disconnect that is going on in this generation with parents today. And I mean an extraordinary disconnect. I don't know if it's the motor skills of the parents is off or the motor skills of the children is off. Either way it goes, this generation, they don't know shit about child rearing. They don't know shit about home training. They don't know a damn thing about actually being disciplined as a parent and then teaching discipline for the children while they're at home. Let me tell y'all something. Look at here. Before you even get out in a public venue, you don't wait, and most of you are so disconnected and so far off in your mind and brain, you don't even correct them even when they cut a fool in a damn public. Let's talk about when you go to somebody else's house, all right? Listen to me very closely. First of all, you shouldn't allow your children to put their feet up on the coffee table or the kitchen table at home. And if they got training at home to not do that, then you don't have to worry about them doing it when they're going to other people's place. Whatever way your child behaves at home, if you don't correct them, it's too late to correct them when you get over to another person's home. Because you're going to run up against somebody like me. And I'm going to be over at that other person's home. And if I see the parents not doing the job that they should be doing, guess who's going to correct your raunchy, nasty, defiled, screwed up in the head child? And guess who's going to hurt from my correction to your child? You are. And the truth is, you can't correct children when children are still raising children because they have a total different mindset. You know, I'll give you an example. You go over to somebody's house and the children are ripping and running in and out of the door. They try their message straightway too, except they get checked when they come. You come in that dining hall two or three times too often, so you better not hit that thing again. You better not even think about hitting that thing again until dinner time. Come inside that dining hall when we told you don't come back in here. I don't care who you are. Watch and see what happens. You see, that's what we're missing today. My mama told me and my brothers when we were young, after we had done, that's what they used to call it, ripping and running. After we were inside that dining hall, if we ran inside that house two or three times in a 2 or 3 hour span, mom got frustrated. She said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, this is it right here. You'll come back in that house again. When you leave out that door for the day, you're going to be stuck in his house for the rest of the day. Man, we didn't go back in that door. We didn't go back in that door until about 9 o'clock at night or something like that, because there's no way. We didn't want to be cooped up in that house. But, you know, that's it, Carol. That's this generation. That's it. This generation, tablets, smartphones, Xbox, PlayStations. You understand? They got all these little gadgets and stuff, and don't none of they little sour asses want to actually go out and do nothing productive. That's what it is. And then, of course, guess what? The parents hinder them because they let these things be the babysitters to them. It's just a sad, sad thing. Most of you parents, I'm sorry to tell you, but you ain't got no damn sense when it comes to child rearing. That's why I keep saying you still a child in mind yourself and you can't even rear children right. I'm going to say it again. It's a problem when you have to wait until a public venue to correct your child when you should have been doing all that mess at home. If the house is a jungle gym, they're going to treat no matter where they go like a jungle gym. And then all of a sudden you want to act like you the model mama and you the model daddy and you want to correct them little monsters out in the public when you don't even do it at home. Oh, yes, we do. No, you don't. But no, you don't, because I've had children and I've been around many children and I've raised other children. Period. I know about raising children and my children. As a matter of fact, we didn't even have to give them a counseling session about what to do when you go to other places. They already knew what we expected. Already. I think we're just disconnected. I believe it. I think we're just totally disconnected. I'm in another world.
We're talking about values, morals, respect, rules, and expectations. Stan Macklin, are you there?
I'm here, my brother. Loud and clear. Enjoyed
Welcome
listening.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, my. Oh, my. We're going to have a good one today.
What's up, Burner? You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What you got? We're talking about home training. It's a real homecoming today. It's a real homecoming. We're going to talk about how to raise these kids and what we need to do.
That's right.
What are your thoughts? I know you got a good program going over there, Brown, your way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that old school OG hit it on the head. He hit the nail on the head. He told it like it was. And he is absolutely 100%. But the other aspect is that you can't expect the child or an unruly teen to have discipline if they have not been taught. Teaching is the first base, the first step. When you play baseball, when you hit the ball, the first base is where you start. We know what they should do. The old ancient scriptures tell us to train up a child in the way he or she should go, and that when they're older, they will not depart. If you don't train them, then what you're going to get? Undisciplined, unruly. Like I said, the old school brother hit it on the head, and he's right. We see these kids. I think all of our families got some of these kids in them. But I tell you, we have to go to the basics, and the basic is train them up. You start out as a trainer, and that goes from zero all the way up to the age of 11. From 12 to 17, you become a counselor where you help make decisions with them, not for them, but with them. And then when they become 17 and older, you give them advice, because grown people do what they want to do, okay? And they have to deal with the consequences of what they do. So it's not hard. It's easy. But we have got to start at the first base. And that's what I want to say about this.
All right. Well, Stan, you always talk about, I love when you say this, correction for a direction. But it's more than just
direction.
It's an education piece, right? It's a
That's
development
right.
piece. It's teaching your
yeah.
kids how to behave at home, right? You teach your kid how
yeah.
to sit down at home, and guess what? The teacher won't have to worry about he or she not being able to sit
there
down at school, right? So it's some work that needs to be done. We're going to talk about home training today. You ready to go to the lines, brother?
Let's go. Let's bring it on.
The deck is packed again. I'm starting from the bottom and working my way up to the top. 0946, it's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Roan and Stan Macklin, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Home training. Boy, you trying to start something here today.
I'm starting it.
Talk about
oh,
home
yeah.
training.
That's right.
Well, you know, and I agree with Stan, is that you can't expect a child to do something that they haven't been taught. And the old
uh-huh.
saying, more's caught than taught. So
mm-hmm.
it was, the direction piece was more when you're young, things have to be modeled. You can't explain everything. Like, you can't say, when you go over here, you need to sit down and be quiet. If they
mm-hmm.
have never
right.
seen that modeled, They don't know what sit down and be quiet mean. They may think sitting down means as long as I stay in my chair, that means I can put my knees in my chair, I can rock in my chair, I can do, as long as I'm in my chair, then I'm being quiet. They, if they don't know what that is, because it's never been modeled, then there's no way for them to know that. So, but I think part of the African-American structure was when children used to go to church, that was where it was modeled how to take turns, how to sit in your class, how to listen to your teacher, how to. So we had examples and we had models before we got to school. Now a child gets a sandwich and runs around the whole house and eat on the sandwich and never learns how to sit at a table. So it's not the child's fault when they get to school and you tell them, okay, we're going to sit in the lunchroom. He wants to get up and run with his sandwich. Because that's what his mom lets him do all day at the house is run around with his sandwich and come back and pick off his plate and run around again and pick off another piece of his plate and run around again. And then when he gets to school, he doesn't know how to do that. So that's part of home training. We have to model. We have to model it. Not so much telling them, but we have to model. We have to show them what to do.
That is so true. That is so true. Modeling. Well, you know, back in the day, it used to be do as I say, not as I do. And so the example has to be set because children are training themselves nowadays. They won't respect adults because adults have stepped out of their position. All right, say it. Thank you, sister. I'm coming back to you. Man, the deck is full. Listen, we're talking about examples. We're talking about modeling. We shirking it, shirking. All right, I'm going over to 4756, Stan. You ready?
All right.
4756 is Empowerment Network. Marvin Ronan, Stan Macklin. How you doing today?
Hey, this is Brother Warren from New Orleans. Wake up here.
Hey New Orleans. How you doing, Brother Warren?
Hey. All right, I thought I'd tune in to this program on this nice Saturday afternoon. I tried to get up to go voting early this morning. Shoot, that line was so long. I said, I'll come back.
I heard that. That's right. Don't be discouraged. Go out and cash your vote.
We've had too long of this.
I'm going to do that. What I wanted to contribute to the discussion there is I think we need to back up, and realize that the parents we see now are young enough to be probably our grandchildren if children. And many of them have not lived in the era we lived and experienced when we reminisce about the values that we had. And so you really can't expect the young parents and even the young grandparents today, if you have grandparents in their 40s or even 50s, they barely lived and experienced much of those values themselves. So you have generations that have not lived under those type of values, we might need to rethink how we look at what it is that the community needs. We need to look more into institutions, where institutions, where people become part of institutions, where they interact with other people, and where training and teaching takes place in the institutions and where people go to the institutions for reinforcement of their humanity. And that's what African-American institutions have always done, and this hostile environment we were in was reinforce our humanity. And when you get these young people who cannot relate to how things were in the community in terms of togetherness and values and rearing children, they can't relate to that, you know. And I know, like many of my grandparents and great-grandparents, many of the young parents, they wouldn't have been able to live under in their household because they were so strict. And so we kind of got to look at the reality that we see now and how to develop a model. And what's my point? We can't go back to the old ways like we're talking about because the circumstances are not the same. The conditions are not the same. Work, the nature of work is not the same. The role of women in the household and so on is not the same. So we kind of have to reexamine how we want to go forward from this point.
Warren, I like the institution piece. Stay and always say it. Institutions to define our own reality. Thank you, Warren. I'm coming back to you because I got a question for you.
Okay.
Stay in what you got.
No, I just want to slip in here and say, but the principle is the same. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and you're right. And so you're absolutely right. We must have institutions, as we're talking about, defining our own reality, and in the context of that reality is those values and those principles. We do not lower the standard, and that's what's happened. The standard has been lowered, and so it does take a village. It works. It works. We must return back to the foundational principles of right is what's right.
All right. Well, right is right and wrong is wrong. Or in this day and time, it could just be fake news. That's what we're working with, y'all. Mm. All right. Stan, we're going to slide on over to Brother George. Brother George, are you there?
Give us some wisdom.
Yes, sir,
Brother
I am,
George.
Brother.
Can All you right, we're going to do the Willie Lynch moment. Yes, I can hear you. Slide us on Willie Lynch, and then we're going to get back to this hot topic on home training.
Yes, sir. It's red hot. Well, I'm this week I have something again from Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch, The Science of Slave Psychology, and it's by the brother Alvin Mora. And what he's talking about is redefining the new black reality. We have all heard the phrase, the power of the spoken word. But to what degree do we understand the impact of this concept? One culture may view such words one way, and another culture may perceive the same phrase in an entirely different light. These perceptions are predominantly determined based on that culture's ability, motive, and method used to define meanings relative to their reality. The scope of that vision determines the range of that specific people's level of freedom. As noticed by now, Willie Lynch and those who use similar methodologies to control the minds of enslaved Africans were clear in defining the new reality of their African slave. Comprehension of the power to define, then, redefine a new black reality by only breaking old cycles. But to bring accurate insight to all intrigued by the magnetism of definitions and their subtle powers. In other words, we have to reverse all of the thinking that they put into us. The same way y'all are talking about, you know, the institutions of parenting and being a child and all of that in our community, all of that was decimated during the enslavement period. And so now we have to redefine all of those things. So that's my Willie Lynch segment for today, and now, you know, I'm going to try to listen and join in on that conversation today.
All right, brother. Yeah, right. Thank you, Brother George. Hey, take your time to go back and listen to this and reevaluate what it is that Brother George just read. We're doing Willie Lynch every week because we have to, like he said, reverse the curse that's on your mind. All right, Stan, ready to go back to the line?
Yes, my brother.
Man, I'm going to 9282. 9282 is the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rowan,
stand back. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters.
Hey, my brother, how are you?
I'm fine. I hope everyone else is as well.
Yes.
Look, I agree with almost everything I've heard so far, so I may sound redundant in what I'm about to say, but a couple of points. Home training / education is the most important training in education there is. It starts there.
Mm-hmm.
Second, We must understand that there's a difference between training and education.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, brother.
There is a difference. You can train a dog not to piss in the house, but that doesn't mean the dog is educated. The dog is now trained, okay? But what we must change in our home education process is the mindset of the home educators for it to be successful or for it to be effective. And several of the brothers and sisters who call already have touched on that.
I like
point.
That.
You've got to change the mindset of the educators. It's an old expression, and I don't want to be vulgar right here, but you ever heard the expression?
Come on, brother.
Shit in, shit
out. Ooh.
You see what I'm saying?
Ooh.
So if you put in
cover your ears.
Shit, you're going to get shit. Okay? Now, what home education should be, and this is the only thing that I'm going to say that's slightly a little different, is home education should be where gods are nurtured and developed.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if the educator is not a god and don't believe they are capable of being such, then they don't realize that they have the ability to nurture and develop the God that they recently gave birth to.
Hmm.
Therefore, effectively hindering and basically destroying the God that they've given birth to. And I've got a thing I'm going to put on Facebook tomorrow where I entitled it, Expectations for a Nigger Are Not Great. See, you, as a black person, we are taught in this society that this great society in which we live in, and I'm being sarcastic here, that you can be anything you want to be if you put your mind to it, anything. And to black folks, that means you can be a lawyer, a doctor, a mechanic, or a scientist, anything if you put your mind to it. That's what we are taught, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But on that list of things they say we can be if we put our minds to it, the one thing that is not on that list that they say we can be is God.
Mm.
That's why I say
Hold right there, brother. Hold right there. Hold right there. Brother, stand. Hold that right there, brother.
Yes.
Did you hear what he just said?
I heard what he said.
He said, we're not teaching our children that they can be God. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
What you think?
Mm-hmm.
Hold tight, brother. What you got, Stan?
Well, we're created in the image of God, okay? We are to be a reflection of his will on earth. The disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer says, thy will be done. When you say done, that means to do something, or something is being done on earth as it is in heaven. So that sells it right there. We've gotten away from our originality. That's who we are. Those pyramids they're not per chance. They were pharaohs. They were men and women, kings and queens, rulers, who knew how to operate in their dominion and to
mm-hmm.
be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish and to have dominion. They had it, brother. So black excellence is not perchance. When we operate in the context of who we are, the wonders of God is realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's reality.
I like that.
So.
And
it's
so
reality.
Brother Warren talked about institutions, and you always talk about institutions. These institutions that we're talking about, like the sister said, has to be put in place for correction and direction. right? If you go, if you have an institution like the brother said that's teaching and training and developing our children to think that they are gods, that they got that kind of power, and like Brother Joe said, to undo and reverse this mind control that they have on
Dismantle
I think
that
we could get it. Dismantle it. I'm going back to 0946. 0946. Jump on in here. What you got?
Well, I think that part of what Brother Warren is saying, what are we going to do about today? How do we bring the kids up today? How do we help train them today? We live in an entertainment mode right now. Everything is entertainment. Mm-hmm. Everything with games. It's moving fast. It's colorful. So the science has shown us that our attention span has shrunk. So when you're now, the reality is you have children now that you're having to teach that have shorter attention spans than when we came up. So making the adjustment. I remember one time I had two little boys that I kept for a week, and they did not know how to. They were about three, and they didn't know how to urinate in the toilet without being all over the floor, walls, whatever, right? Mm. So I had to think of a way. I couldn't
work with them boys.
Come down on them and say, you know, this is bad, you shouldn't do that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I made it into a game. You know, I had to make it fun. And today, education for kids today, if it's not fun, they don't have the skills that we used to have as far as being able to sit down with long attention spans to be able to grasp things. So our teaching techniques are going to have to change with our children. So what I did was I just made it fun that every time they did it right, they got a penny. And it became a game. And so that's how they learned how to do that. But up until that point, they were 3 years old, and nobody taught them. They didn't know. They didn't know any different. So I think that if you're going to work with children, you have to be compassionate enough to know that
that's
these kids are not responsible at this point for their behavior if it has not been modeled right, and you have to love them enough and be patient enough to teach them.
Yes,
and I think
that's
the big gap is we end up not liking the children because they come with such bad habits. And I'll end with this. Children are very instinctual. Kids know when you like them and when you don't. So it doesn't matter what you say. You can say all the good things you want, but a child can sense whether or not you like them or not. And I have met with grown-ups, it's very hard for them to separate the children's behavior to this is just a child that has not been taught.
Yeah, they hate them, dislike them. Hate what they do and wind up hating them.
Right, exactly.
True. Thank you, sister.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Good word.
Parenting is so important. Oh, it's critical.
Boiling.
It is critical that we have good parenting. So, who's training the parents? Who's training the parent? Who's developing our people? Who's doing it? Right? The TV can't develop our children. Right? Xbox can't do it. PlayStation can't do it. Right? YouTube can't do it. You have to do it. You have to do it. All right, Stan, we're going to slide back over to Brother Warren, and then I'll get a few comments from you. Brother Warren, are you there?
Yeah. I wanted to address something the sister was saying about kids. Makes sense, you don't like them. But, you know, sometimes the kids are not correcting that. Because sometimes if you're trying to correct a child or you're trying to be stern with a child, they will make, and we all did it, I did it as a kid too, we may assume that person don't like us because it's, you know, time children have these insecurities, so on and so forth. But the point that she brought out is interesting. I think the thing is, we, the parents of the children and the community at large, we have failed to provide our young people with appropriate and enriching recreation.
I like that word.
The impatience, all of us have become this way. I went to McDonald's because, you know, McDonald's still not, at least here, they're not taking any walk-in. And I was getting impatient waiting in the drive-thru. You know, I was getting there. So we all have become impatient by this changing lifestyle we were accustomed to as a result of automation and technology. And we also must remember this cell phone and social media, these are the guardians now of young people all over the world. The young people are interacting not only with each other, but the young people are coming across sexual activity on social media by looking at videos, people making videos. So their exposure to things that are not appropriate for children their age is happening at a increasing rate than ever before. So that's why when we were coming up, and let me tell you another thing too. You see, parents, see, when I was coming up, even before, when you got whipped, you got whipped. But see, that's looked upon, that's not looked upon favorably today by many parents who don't want to inflict that type of chastisement on the children the way it's looked upon as child abuse. I mean, but then, and then when you think about it, even though our being whipped may not have been child abuse, it may have been. Because a lot of that whipping, believe it or not, the way we grew up whipping and our grandmother's whip, that actually comes off the plantations. It was slave masters and overseers made slaves get switches and beat other slaves and so on and so forth. So in turn, that's what we did. At least that's what our great-grandparents did as parents. To keep us protected from the possibility of being hurt. I said, people don't have that sense of that's how you have to protect your children that way anymore. So parents just don't like, even in your own families, you cannot whip your niece and nephew and your cousin the way we all got whipped. It's looked upon unfavorably. So when my point is, when we talk about what we did in the past that appeared to be good, we have to remember that even the past, it wasn't all that good time for us still living in a racist society. We kind of have to develop as we go along to things that would be appropriate considering the time we're in now. The value system stays the same, but you might have to find a way to implement a different way to implement that value system.
That's so true. Man, one thing I did not want is one of them good old whippings from my mama. Man, anyway, all right, that brings back memory. Mama, I love you. Ooh, I love you. Ooh, that woman was somebody when she got to it. Anyway, all right, I'm going to slide on down to Brother George, 4358. Are you there? Thank you, Brother Warren.
Yes, sir, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what you got?
Well, I recently was introduced to, I'm not going to say it's a new concept, but I know it's a concept that tends to work with our young people, and it's called peacemaking circles. And it's like when, and the focus, the sole focus of the circles are on young people's concerns and not, you know, like listening to them first before you start giving advice or, you know, leading, which I still believe that that the elders can lead well. I still believe in that. But I also believe that the young people have to start being heard, and we have to start, because we're moving into a different era with our people. You know, we're no longer slaves, and our minds are adjusting. You know, young people's minds adjust with the environment that they're birthed into. And the environment that they're birthed into is an environment of revolutionary change. And so their minds are adjusting to that. You know, we might be telling them one thing, but the world is telling them something else. You know, Black Lives Matter is telling them something else, and we're telling them,
got that right,
you know, you need to behave, you need to do what's necessary to be good in school. And then they're telling us, but they ain't teaching us nothing in school, you know. They ain't talking about us in school, you know. And so it's the same thing that we're saying behind closed doors, but their minds are, you know, are built like that when they come on the planet, you know. So I just think that those circles are going to become more and more popular in our community because, I mean, I've been saying it for a while. We need to start sitting down and talking to our young people, starting at the age that the sister was just talking about, you know, with the little kids that's 3 and 4 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't know how to properly urinate because, you know, it might not be a man in the house to tell them how the boy is supposed to go to the bathroom. And so, you know, these circles are going to me, will open up a lot of things. And so I thought that I would throw that into the mix. I think that what everyone else was saying is also very correct, you know, and I just appreciate being a part of this, you know, this National African American Empowerment Association. I just feel so blessed, you know, to be a part of that and to be a part of this conversation, you know, every Saturday. I'm not always here every Saturday, but I try to be, you know. So I just wanted to put that into the mix.
Thank you, Brother George. And I might add that I got to give a shout out to my partner in crime over there, Armstrong Leadership Program, Yvette Rajput. Been doing circles forever, right? Been developing young people for a long time. So I give a prop out to Yvette Rajput, Armstrong Leadership Program. Great program for young people and youth development to give them the values that they need. And guess what? They've been sitting in circles since at least 2008. So that's a long time ago. All right. Let's Stan, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Let's slide on over to 7974. Thank you, Brother George. 7974 is Empowerment Network. The deck is full. What you got for us?
Hi. So I definitely agree with a lot that has been said, but particularly the past couple of callers that have talked about the need for us to not get so staunched down in nostalgia of what parenthood used to be like. And all of the things, I think, you know, like the caller said, I think there's something to be said for us looking at the values that we're trying to be instilled, but the way in which they manifested weren't always good. And I think you can't talk about childhood and child rearing and parenting without talking about generational trauma. In addition to that, because there's a difference between, you know, training or disciplining your mm-hmm. child, because you're trying to teach them something, and I think that's what the caller was saying before, versus training and education, and also doing it because that's just what you know, right? And then you're angry, and you have all, and then you don't know when to stop. That's when that becomes abuse, and a lot of times, I think we nostalgically look back at our past and say, okay, well, that was the best thing, and you know, the best thing to do. But I think we're thinking about how we raise children in a school system that was not built for us and is still not designed for us. We have to make sure that our children are able to talk to us. You know, growing up, we had a culture of silence. You didn't talk, you know, you did, well, not even just talking about talking back. You didn't really know how to even advocate or talk about things, particularly when it came to authority figures, because it was just do as I say. That can be very damaging when somebody's telling you to do something that you're not supposed to be doing. So when you're talking about sexual assault and sexual violence with kids, right, and you know, I'm just told to do what adults tell me, there has to be more nuance to it than just that when we're talking to our children. And it didn't used to be, right? It's you just do what somebody tells you to do, right? And so I think even when we're talking about this and talking about family structures, we have to be realistic that there have been a lot of family secrets on a lot of family things that have hurt children and continue to hurt children, because if you don't believe your children when they come to you and said, Uncle so-and-so touched me, or whatever the case may be, right? Oh, no, just be quiet, or just like, you know, repress that. There's a lot of reasons why you have this generational trauma that continues, and I would even say generational curses that continue, and you can't talk about them in isolation of parenthood and rearing children, right? You want your children to have a voice. And so I think that there is a balance between the discipline, absolutely, and making sure that your child is able to pay attention and do things. But let me say a point about the paying attention in school, okay? The thing I will say is these schools were not designed for us. Our children learn very differently. So being right now in virtual learning, we're expecting our kids to sit in front of a screen for five hours with very little breaks right, and wonder why they can't sit there and they're looking off. I telework and don't want to sit in front of a screen for 5 hours, okay? So I think, again, even when they're in school, we have to understand the nuances of being able to advocate for our children. When the little black girl asks a question, she considers sassy, but the little white girl is considered smart and intellectual, right? Don't just let people tell you things about your children just because they have some funds of knowledge in one area. You know your child. And what I would end on saying is we have to listen to our children and not just silence them to shut up, right? Because you shutting up, and then you wondering why 20 or 30 years later they're confronting you about things that happened to them in their childhood because they couldn't talk to you then because they didn't have a voice. Let's not make our children wait till they're in their 20s and 30s and 40s to have a voice. Let's give them their voice while they're young and they can use it. That's my end.
All right.
Well,
thank you, man. This is firecrackers today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stan, what you got?
Yes. Well, I tell you, we underestimate our youth. I had an experience this past week where our parking lot, it needs to have some upgrade. I've been waiting for it and working together to get it done, but finally came together and called the quarry, and they brought a big old tons of gravel and dumped it into the parking lot. And when I looked at that, I said, oh, my, that is really a lot of gravel and it's way too much for me to do. Well, it just so happens that a youth pastor had called me and said, look, hey, we heard about the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center, and we like to spend a half a day there. We like to come and have lunch. We like to have a tour, and then we like to have a service project. Bingo. When he said service project, my mind went straight to that parking lot. And, of course, the other aspects such as the tour and lunch. And so he showed up, and the gravel was there, and he showed up with the young people. They rode their bikes there, okay? And this was integrated. It was white and black, okay? And they were probably ranging from, I would say, from 11 to maybe 16, 12 of them, along the meters. And they had lunch. We gave them a good lunch because that's what we do at Menti's there, a component of the Tubman Center. And then we gave them a tour, and then outside tour exhibits and all, as well as in. And then we went to the service project. And here's the point what I want to make. That big pile of gravel, that heap, that Goliath gravel, by working together, we got it done. Now, when they came, some of the youth were a little rowdy. We were running different things. But when their leader got their attention and summons them to the work at hand, we all worked together, put our hand to the plow, per se, and didn't look back till we got it done. And it looked beautiful, professional. And it was basically free labor. The point is that young people just need guidance many times. Mm-hmm. They need examples. They need opportunities to have adventure, to have creative activity where they can do things that they can learn. And it was just a great day. And so I appreciate all of these comments because that's the next generation is what it takes to carry on the torch, and definitely it's been passed on. And social media is having its effects, but I believe we can overcome that because there is some young people that want that guidance to do the right thing.
True. The sister said earlier that modeling is important. Model for your kids and model for our community. Stan, I'm going to slide on over to 4692. The deck is full. 4692. It's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. Welcome to the show.
Go ahead, call her.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hey.
The topic is very, very, very rich. And although I joined a little late, I can tell you that my ears and my heart has been blessed. But I'm probably in the position of having more questions than answers today.
Okay.
I'm looking back to a time where we as a people we emerged from being enslaved. And I'm looking at this scenario where sometimes parents didn't, or guide those who had guidance over us, they didn't have an opportunity to tell us stuff more than one time.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, when they said what they said, we knew what to do. And the challenge that I have today is a lot of times the guidance that has been given by some of those who find themselves as mothers and or fathers, we can't, our young people can't trust that it's the right thing all the time. And so that has caused a serious injury to our ability to be able to heed good teaching, because it may not be good teaching. And so young people are having to navigate and figure out their own way about a lot of things. And so what does that do? What happened when I was coming up? I was raised by a single mother who got pregnant with me when she was in college at 19. And so she gave instruction, because even as I was growing up, she didn't have anyone else to stand in her stead when she worked multiple jobs to try to provide a roof and to do the things that she needed to do. So I had to learn, but I didn't just learn by listening. I learned by watching, and I could trust that my mother would not give me any guidance or any say anything to me that would lead me in the wrong direction. And so I think that, you know, with the grandparents that were in place, with some season and some, you know, some wisdom, that was a benefit, with the neighbors who looked out because I was a latchkey kid. All of those things seem to have gone away. But I still go back to what happened between being enslaved and being you know, discriminated and going through civil rights. What is going on now? And, you know, I think that there was good information that was shared by the sister. And I would just ask the question, though, why is it that our children can't do as we say? What is this freedom? I know that I deal with other parents whose kids are out of control. And they say things like, I can't get them to do nothing. I can't. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure out for myself, what do you mean you can't?
I've been trying to tell y'all something happened.
So something has happened between being enslaved to being, you know, mistreated and abused and discriminated against to going through civil rights to getting to now, that it seems we have less control, less guidance, less trust, less wisdom. Something is going on, and that's the crux of
all
it.
Right.
Because I have been in scenarios where freedoms have been given and all of those things, and children go haywire. So maybe we need to look at what the balance should be, because I think the pendulum swung all the way. I know people who said, I'm not going to raise my kids like I was raised. I'm not going to sit and talk with my kids. I'm not going to physically chastise them. I'm going all these other newfangled things. I don't know that I just don't know what's going on. So that's my dilemma.
Okay.
I don't have much to contribute, but those are the thoughts that
you
came
got
to
it.
My mind while you're
you
on
said here. A mouthful right there.
Yeah, thank you, sister. Something happened.
Can I take it?
Thank you. Go ahead, take a stab at it, and I'm going to slide on over to 7244. You are next. Go ahead, Stan, and then I'm going to 7244.
The sister gave that's a profound question, sister, and I want to encourage you and thank you for your question. I'll say a couple things. First of all, she's right. There was a time where our parents, and they didn't have to really say anything. They just look at us, and the eyes talked. And we knew what to do, okay? Not only in the church, but out of the church, in the community period. And it was also the community neighbors. But here's the thing. There's an ancient saying, okay, biblically based, that says, ye fathers and mothers, provoke not your children to wrath. We are enduring the wrath of provoking our children. And we've done that. That's on us, not them. We have disobeyed what the principle said. And as I said earlier, you cannot violate a principle. The brother talked about the God-like principles and who we are in terms of his will being done on earth. Provoke not your children to wrath. And the other part of that says, train them up in the way they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart. We know this, but we, the parents, we, the elder, have provoked them to wrath, and now we're reaping that wrath that's come toward us. And so that's the answer to that question. What we see is the wrath that's there. And so until we acknowledge it, confess it, repent, and turn back, there's not going to be no change. I think this is one reason why enough is enough when it comes to the God's perspective, because the pandemic has gotten our attention to the extent that it's not going to be business as usual.
All right, there it is. Parenting is a tough job, right? But you need skills. We got to develop those skills. I'm going to 7244. 7244, it's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rowan and Stan Macklin, what you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, family? Peace and black power.
Hey, good to hear you.
Peace and love, brother. How you doing? We got 3 minutes.
All right.
It's all yours.
Well, man, I just want to say that when we're looking at what's going on with us is, you know, is that we have been attacked like no other form of humanity. No other race has gone through the intentional slaughter and inhumane attack as we've gone through in the face of the Asian, the European, the Arab, a lot of people.
That's true.
Right? So when we're looking at the current dysfunction in which we come to terms with, we had a place like what a sister was saying, we emerged from slavery. I'm more of a one to, you know, thank her for bringing that up, but to be honest and say we were basically submerged by slavery, right? Because we're still coming back. When you look at our culture of today, Megan Thee Stallion was on the front of Time, right? Speaking about black women and, you know, the greatness of black women. But she's the one that is now, she has a hit record, Wet Ass.
I saw that.
Pee.
I saw that.
So, right. So now a lot of our women are gravitating to this message again, talking about, well, hey, why won't children listen to the parents? Because this European knows doggone well how he designed this infrastructure. And it's the one to kind of take the parents out of the house where fathers, in jail, the father's locked, he's working like crazy, mother's working like crazy, so they're not really able to be at home being attentive to the children like that. So guess who's raising the children? Either the 8 hours of the public school system or either the other, you know, 8 hours of social media now, and also you have the hip-hop world or the popular world that's now raising our children. And that's why it's very important for us. We can talk about voting, but this is where we have to share our concern. Our voice of concern is on these policies that affect our children. And this message of selling drugs, this message of over-sexuality, all this crazy message, I think this should be the first place we stop saying, hey, we don't want this type of image of us. We need more educational of us on the TV screen, on the movies, on the songs. We don't want to, but as long as we buy into it, guess what? They're going to sell it to us. So I think it's very important for us to have discussions like these inside our churches, inside wherever, whatever the functions are. We need to have these types of discussions so we can go forward and start, you know, breaking those chains that really hold us back.
Thank you, brother. We are just about out of time. That's a great point. We're going to come back next week and follow this up. Stan, you got about 10 seconds. What you got, brother? Thank you for calling, brother.
Great topic. The home training is the key for the fundamental perpetuation of our posterity. We must stick to the basics. We must.
All right. That's it for this week. It's the Empowerment Network. Thank you for calling all of y'all. We're going to join this topic again next week for a part two. Thank you all for listening. It's up to us. Peace.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.